Hello, Libra, and welcome to In These Times, your autumn reading from Planet Waves. And I'm starting in Kingston, New York at 4:55 p.m. on September 3rd, 2019. This is the third reading I'm doing in the sequence. And thanks for being here with me, and it's good to be with you. I'm beginning all of these readings with the same quotation. I haven't, it's just kind of exciting, but I haven't read anything that's given me this much spiritual juice in years. But this one paragraph woke me up big time. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading it. Rinpoche says, "It's important to understand that as bad as times are, the Dharma is not affected or diminished in any way. We do indeed live in an age of decadence, but the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma is the same as it's always been." The Dharma is the central teaching of healing, and it's taught through example and through action. And the word Dharma means acting as if to hold the world together. So on one level, it's a kind of a verb. It's a way of being. And it's also a teaching that is handed from teacher to student. It's handed from one generation to the next. It is exemplified in action. And it's a kind of internal commitment that you make to act as if to hold the world together. And why this got my attention so much was we live in these times that just seem absolutely helpless. I mean, the world is benighted, and it seems that people with power and money are taking any advantage they can to stoke their own greed and to rip at the world, to damage the fiber and the integrity of the world, when we all need to be working together to weave the integrity of the world. And the idea that we may live in decadent times, but the Dharma is not decadent. That kind of saved me. And I felt a lot better since embracing that, just even seeing those words on the page. So we're here to talk about this rather incredible astrology that we're all living through, and much of this astrology is taking place on the cardinal cross, which is the home of the sign Libra and Aries and Cancer and Capricorn. So I'm going to have a lot to say about all of them, because there's so much activity on the cardinal cross right now. It's really where most of the main activity is. And you may have heard about all that's coming through Aries and Capricorn, and these are important signs for you. And the beauty of what's coming through Libra is that it represents your ability to frame your reality, your ability to conceptualize the ideas that are the basis of your mental and emotional reality, and to choose the words to describe your reality. And this is very important, that you be able to express your reality in ways that strengthen it, right? That the words you use to describe your reality are part of your action as if to hold the world together, because the words we use can divide, they can weaken, they can be self-defeating. And so the concept of reality that you use and the words you use to describe your reality will support and affirm one another. And this is, by the way, coming through a rarely used, little-known point but an important point in your sign in early Libra called Logos. And this is of all of the concepts out of Greek wisdom, this is one that has been explored probably the most of all. And I've been meditating on it for years, and to me, it seems like the idea at the heart of your reality, and then a little bit further out, the conceptual framing, how you conceive of your existence, and then a little bit further out, how you describe these things. And what you want to work for is to have no splits between these, that you're, the inner core of your being is something that you're aware of and that you work to affirm and strengthen, and then the ideas about your life grow from there, and then the words you use grow from there, and you gradually bring this all into harmony. And I say this knowing that we are all under unusual stress at this time. Some of us are handling it better than others. Some are handling it brilliantly. Some are handling it positively horribly because they're just not made to be alive in times like this, or it's more than they can bear, than any they at least can bear. And all of these externals, essentially pain, fragmentation, collapse, and failure to love and maintain the world we have come to inhabit is in itself painful and stressful. To see all of this assault on the environment and on these fragile systems that we have and these economic systems, and I think most important in terms of logos, this worshiping of deception and lies, as if it's, the metaphors that are coming to mind are just too gross to put in to articulate here. But there's just not only is there not wide scale respect for the truth, the whole notion that something can be truthful is under attack right now. And the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma is what it is. And it is up to all of us, and it is up to you to act as if to hold your world together and act as if to hold the world together. Now, on the cardinal cross, the thing that is the most agitating for everyone right now is that we're about 4 months ahead. Just about 16, 17 weeks out of one of the biggest conjunctions of our lives, the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto. This is taking place in Capricorn. It is a one-time event, meaning that Saturn will not go retrograde and make a series of conjunctions to Pluto, as can happen, but it's not happening this time. And so what we get is a clean before and after the conjunction. We are now in the waning balsamic phase, the extreme balsamic phase. There's only about 6 degrees to go. Saturn and Pluto are about to station direct. Saturn stations direct on the 18th of September, and Pluto stations direct on the 3rd of October. And we know this is coming. And in a sense, this conjunction is the big one. Its baby brother was the Saturn-Pluto opposition that was the defining astrology of the 9/11 event and became the astrology that led us into this crazy post-9/11 world where all that can possibly ever unite us is fear. right? This is like the rallying cry of the times we live in. No more FDR. The only thing to fear is fear itself. But rather, along with the worshiping of and admiring of deception that so many people have found so comforting in this time of decadence, this notion that all we really have is fear. And that's just not acceptable. It's not going to work. It's insubstantial. It is driven by an agenda, and it is not a spiritual foundation. So it's understandable that there's fear, that you might be feeling fear, that anyone might be feeling fear at this point, because so much that we have built and come to accept is just, okay, you know, perhaps imperfect, but workable, is being torn apart. Now, on a very intimate personal level, this is extant in your chart, and this is probably the single most relevant thing you can know about your astrology at this time, which is the Saturn-Pluto conjunction is taking place four signs away from yours. And so in doing sun sign astrology, whole sign house astrology, and even, proper natal astrology, we want to count signs and see, you know, where this other energy coming from, the cardinal cross, is coming from, and it's coming from your fourth place. So this works however you're counting Libra in your chart, whether it's sun, moon, or rising. And if you have, you know, well, let's just say that it is effective for sun, moon, or rising to say that Capricorn is the fourth place. And the fourth place is the place of security. It is the place of the foundations that we live on. It is the feeling of the homestead, the feeling of the father's house, right? The farm we live on, the estate. And you have Capricorn on this house. And this in itself is significant because it describes the way in which you are respectful of and understanding of the beauty of tradition. And you depend on tradition. You depend on having the solid ground of the past to stand on, the solid ground of the way things have been done, which you do in your own way, but this fourth house ground for you is Capricorn. Capricorn is usually very stable and dependable, and it is the stalwart brand. It is the institution that has not failed. It is it's the government at its best. It is everything that is established that we were born upon and typically take for granted. And for you, it's fair to say that it is the ground of your chart. So what's so interesting is that Capricorn works this way for everyone, but you happen to have it placed as the ground you stand on. And now what's going on with the ground you stand on is that it is quaking and it is shaking. And this is because Pluto has been there since early 2008, which came with the financial meltdown, the subprime mortgage crisis becoming the Great Recession, and the restructuring of all the American banks and even things like insurance companies, all of the mortgages, all these fraudulent mortgages that were written and people given money to buy homes there was just no way they could afford. And then the entire economy built upon those fraudulent mortgages packaged as securities. There's a South Park episode about this with the Margarita Machine. I think Margaritaville, where they use the Margarita Machine purchased on time as a metaphor for the worthless homes that were purchased and the worthless mortgages that were written on those homes. And now Saturn has joined this. So for years, the ground underneath you has been moving. And you've been challenged to build your foundations on moving ground. But you're a person who needs stability. You need that dependability of the world. And the problem is the world is not delivering that. And Pluto has been instigating much of this. And then came Saturn in late 2017. Saturn may have initially brought some relief because Saturn is a stabilizing influence, but Saturn is also an agent of change. And we have Saturn not only in its organic state, but about to form a conjunction to this really weird new planet called Pluto. And so this has been even more cautionary of moving ground. And now the two are going to form their once per generation, as in three times per century, conjunction in Capricorn on the ground on which you stand. And so what this is saying is that, first of all, if you've been wondering why there's not any sensation of stability, well, here's a good reason. And second, you have to build in such a way that allows for movement and for change. The metaphor that has often come to mind when explaining how to handle this conjunction is to build your home out of, build a tent rather than like a building that could fall on you. So when the people who live in places where the ground moves a lot tend to live in tents, they tend to be portable traditionally. I mean, today, these days, like, you know, everyone lives in a building pretty much, but in times past, an earthquake can't really harm a tent. It can't harm a cloth home. You just put it back up. And so this is a way to adapt. And you probably also need to keep moving in a way that you haven't. Like, in other words, not like migratory, but being mobile, making sure that you can reconfigure yourself over and over again. But there's a spiritual level to this, and the spiritual level involves the family. And the fourth and Capricorn both are family-oriented locations in the horoscope, and they're connected to security through the family. There's a homeopathic remedy that I think is brilliantly illustrative of Capricorn on the fourth house, and that's Calcarea carbonica. And if you can find a more philosophical description of this, not you know, not just the one like that's like the one paragraph one in like the family homeopathy book, but a more constitutional level explanation, you'll hear that it's about the calcium is about the shell. In vertebrate animals, their shells are bones made of calcium. And so this can also be about the bones, the structure from the inside. And so the implication here is that the structure from the inside and the structure from the outside are all changing. But for you, the healing is going to come through finding your own sense of stability within yourself without needing to depend heavily on pre-existing structures of a certain kind. Now, we're never independent, but there are greater and lesser degrees of involvement, and there are different types of involvement. And you want to go light on this. You want the tent version or maybe the yurt version and not the like five-story building version, to go gently on the idea of security and to go gently on the idea of the structures that support you, and make sure above all else that you are aware of what is no longer serving, what is no longer helpful to you, and be prepared to move on from that. And this moving on is not like a simple gesture. It is about coming to closure about something. And it is probable that there's something about your family that you're coming to closure about. This could be either parent, but unresolved business around father, I would suggest, be thing one, the most important point of focus of your personal healing. The fourth house also has the property of the end of the matter. This is from classical astrology, and it would seem as if Saturn conjunct Pluto certainly is indicative of one or more matters that it is time to bring to a close. This has probably been going on for a long time. You may have already made certain key decisions, and it is now time for you to enact those decisions, for you to make sure that you are voting with your feet and with your body and with your actions, so that you embody completely this time of resolution. And it would seem that if this really only affects one or two matters, one or two important things, they may spread out and relate to other things, but at the core of it all, there's probably one or two decisions you may need to make. They're likely to involve family, home, and household. It may be something much older, but you now have this leverage of Saturn soon to be applying for its final approach to Pluto, and a new cycle of these two planets turns over, and then comes 2020 and 2021, because the conjunction is on 1/12/20. So the year begins with this conjunction. And then comes a time of rebuilding. Saturn will still be available to you. And then, at the end of the year, in November, well, through the year, Jupiter passes through this territory, and you get resources to make your changes. Right, it's no longer the dry territory of Saturn, Pluto, and Capricorn. Suddenly, Jupiter is present. And Jupiter will, I think, fairly clearly indicates the resources necessary to begin the process of building something new. And then something very exciting happens, which is that both Saturn and Jupiter enter your fifth house at the end of 2020. And this is let's say it's the completion of the rebirth. It's the newborn entity that was rebirthed, emerging as a child who can actually do things now, can roam around the neighborhood. I don't know if kids still roam around the neighborhood. I don't even know if it's legal for kids to roam around the neighborhood. But let's pretend we were back when it was okay for kids to roam around the neighborhood and to go exploring and to make discoveries. So you're just speaking in terms of the timing, which is quite relevant for you, particularly given the end of the matter delineation of the fourth house. Approximately 17, 18 weeks from what I'm recording till January 12, 2020, and then a transitional year, and then a kind of emergence as a newly recreated creative being, fifth house. So if you're seeking to make career changes, if you want to do something that's more interesting with your life, if you want to have more fun, if you want to be thinking about something besides necessity, you're in a good place right now. But there's a prerequisite to this. There is a series of challenges that you are facing to fully engage the process of completion and closure, which is so rarely done. People are walking around with all kinds of unresolved stuff. and then this tenuous phase of rebirth, all in 2020, all while the world is shaking and quaking, and while your foundations are shaking and quaking. But you will do it. And this is a kind of a necessary reshuffling. In the end, you will be much stronger, more flexible, and more resilient for having confronted and engaged fully this journey, this process. One of the things that the fourth house represents is your experience of your inner world. And living on our plane of reality, living in our fragile bodies and with the world in such a stressed out state, it is not easy to feel safe. And ultimately, everyone comes to an agreement with themselves, a deeply intimate personal agreement about whether we feel safe and why that is. It is one of the most important spiritual matters. One of the ways that we do that is often through our relationships. You know, if you're alone in a cabin in the middle of the woods, you're going to feel better if you've got a big dog. Can the dog necessarily protect you? Well, the dog can certainly alert you when there's somebody walking around outside. And that 1 minute notice, the mere sound of the dog barking, is going to protect you. And in a similar way, our intimate relationships provide the experience of reality of, or the sense of safety. It can also provide the reality of, the experience of, the sense of a threat of some kind. Because so much of the threats that we experience and the danger that we experience through the vehicle of our intimate partnerships. And here is the second major, apart from Logos and Capricorn, first and second, third major element of your astrology, which is that you now have Chiron transiting your opposite sign, Aries. This is a big one. This is a very significant one, and Chiron is almost always a harbinger of help, healing, assistance, and the presence of resources that you need. The problem with Chiron is that it often comes disguised in the form of a challenge or in the form of a person who challenges us, or it shows up as warning in some way. It shows up as something cautionary, saying, pay attention, do what you need to do, take care of this situation. And so Chiron on the 7th is likely to be manifesting a few different ways. One of them is that it will be placing hyper-focus on primary relationship and on all relationships. Now, in a certain way, Libra is like a bellwether for all of humanity, because all of humanity right now is in a relationship crisis. All of humanity is under the influence of the internet, which is shifting and destabilizing all of our relationships. Humanity is experiencing all the fear that is going on, and what I think is a crisis of trust. Right? How many people can really say that they trust the people around them? How many can really say that they trust the process of their lives, that they trust anything at all? The other action of Libra, of Chiron on the 7th, is the ability to communicate with others. So in one context, Chiron can create kind of a crisis of communication. If, however, that is attended to and the struggle met with love, awareness, and intelligence, that the other met with respect, a door opens, and Chiron on or in the 7th, which you will have for another 7 years, you've had it for about a year and a half, presents you with a gift of translation and communication. Metaphors work well to teach astrology, and Barbara Handclaw has my favorite metaphor of Chiron on the 7th. She said, if space aliens land on the White House lawn, we should send someone with Chiron in the 7th house to talk to them, because they'll be able to translate and negotiate with them. And so this is two-edged in the way that Chiron often is, in that it can seem to present a challenge or a crisis, and yet at the same time, in this particular method of Chiron, which is a little like the shamanic injury, right? The shamanic injury is an initiation. It might be getting circumcised or stabbed or pierced or being left out in the forest for a month or something like this. That ritual wounding creates power. It's an initiation. And so there is an initiation into a new level of your relationships with Chiron in the 7th. And this is unlike any other time in your relationships. It's vitally important to remember this, that this is unprecedented to have this transit, to have this quality of energy. Unless it happens that you're born natally with something like Chiron opposite the sun or Chiron in the 7th and you're familiar with this energy, this is a new thing, and it's certainly a new transit. And it is suggesting that it is no longer possible to engage with business as usual in your relationships. Everything is changing. People are changing. The way you need to approach people is changing. There are circumstances that are changing, but more than anything, the energetic quality of the environment in which you're relating is changing and is demanding of more awareness, more communication, more orientation on healing. A partner or partners who take part in your healing process and who themselves are committed to the healing process. And additionally, Chiron on the 7th can represent the presence of a mentor or teacher of some kind. This can include a practitioner, but if it's a practitioner, it's unlikely to be something like a hematologist or something. It's going to be the kind of practitioner who is also working on the spiritual plane as well, where the teaching is holistic. And so we could expand that to all of the contexts of relationship that Chiron represents, working your 7th house, as being built on the need to be holistic. In other words, taking into account all of reality, taking into account all the different facets of who you are and who the other person is and your environment, rather than the way we tend to do things in life, which is to fragment things off and have special interest friends and situations that work for that but don't work for that, and so on. You're familiar with this, that dharma piece, the weaving of the world, the acting as if to hold the world together, is understanding the holistic nature of all relationships. Now, I promised in somewhere in the promotional literature to have one teaching related to sexuality in this reading. And for you, it's fairly straightforward. Chiron is making a long conjunction, much of 18, 19, and 20, and a bit beyond, because Chiron's going to be moving ever slower till it reaches the furthest point from the sun, which it's about to do. Then it will start to move a little bit quicker, but it won't really be noticeable. Is conjunct a point called Salacia, S-A-L-A-C-I-A. She's a sea nymph. She's the sea nymph wife of the god of rivers, oceans, and earthquakes, Poseidon or Neptune. And my take is that Salacia is about the healing of sexuality. And it is not merely the technical healing of sexuality. It is not merely the crisis support group level. There is an embracing of the need for growth and maturity. There's an embracing for the need of integrating some form of love with all sexual feelings, beginning with self-love, because we're talking about a placement in Aries. And Chiron is, as always does, raising awareness of the subject matter of the thing to which it forms a conjunction. Chiron does this so dependably that it's humorous when you follow the transits through the chart. And what Chiron is now calling attention to is the need for you to relate to others in a way that is sexually holistic. And this includes understanding the sexual dynamics of the entire environment, which our society loves to pretend are not there. It's this whole charade that goes on and on and on. And so whether a relationship is intentionally possessive of a sexual element or incidentally has a sexual element, or whether there would appear to be no sexual element at all, there's just merely human interaction, one of the things Salacia is saying is to understand the role of sexuality on every level of your involvements in the human environment. Now, because this is manifesting in the relationship angle of your chart, it also needs to be descriptive of your partners. And so it is vitally important that you make the, if you're going to make the effort in a relationship, that part of that needs to be the presence of sexual potential with a partner. And then in all other relationships, having compassion for and being witness to the various levels of sexual exchange and the dynamics, if there's no exchange, just the mental and emotional dynamics, the aesthetic dynamics. But when it comes to your most important relationship or relationships, that you engage with partners who are committed to their growth. This is a big thing that splits people apart. One partner in a relationship can often find a place where they know they need to grow, and they make the choice to do that, and they're committed to the relationship, but the partner is not interested or ready for or willing to engage in that element of growth, and so there can be a division. And what I'm reading off of this is that you be discerning, and that this be part of your test for how your relationships are, and this includes existing, it includes studying certain past relationships, and it includes how you engage with relationship prospects. Is this person doing their work? Is this person interested? Can this person feel me in all of my dimensions? Can I actually be real with this person? That's the bottom line, is whether you can be real with them and whether you feel that they are being real with you. And so this would I'm tempted to say ideally, but it's really the astrology is with you so powerfully that we're not even talking about an ideal situation. We're really talking about a de minimis situation where it's like, at the very least, there must be genuine honesty in your relationships, where there's going to be a sexual exchange. There cannot be withholds. You have to be first out completely about who you are, and then second, be able to engage with someone on the level of what you are discovering about yourself, the level of who you are becoming, and that you engage with partner or partners who are also honest about who they are and what they're discovering and who they are becoming. There are two other houses in the zodiac that are descriptive of something closely related to what I've just been describing for the past few minutes. Let's start with the current Virgo stellium in Virgo, which is your 12th house. The house before anything, in other words, the sign before your sign, the house before a house you're thinking about or discussing, the region right before something, right? So we're talking about Libra, anything in Virgo. We're talking about Virgo, anything in Libra, anything in Leo, is a kind of a blind spot. It has a parallel dimension feeling. You can't always see into those parallel dimensions. The feeling is a little bit like you had a dream in the morning. You woke up remembering a dream, and the dream was very vivid when you woke up. And then somewhere between waking up and getting out of bed, the dream dissolves. And you know, dreams have their weird logic, and that weird logic is often going to be unpleasant to the frontal lobe, right? It's like, you know, you're the dancing teapot, or it's like an acid trip, right? You don't want to necessarily be in that world, but the feeling stays with you. And so the feeling, the experience of the 12th house is as if the feeling of a dream stayed with you, and then the dream is just like in this other room. It's behind a scrim, or right on the other side of a wall, almost like the bookshelf in the library becomes a door and you can walk through. Close it, it just looks like a bookshelf again. And at the moment, there is an extraordinary amount of energy coming through your 12th house. Soon after the sun entered Virgo, there was a new moon in Virgo. Soon after that, Mercury entered and joined the moon, the sun, and Juno in Virgo. And the net effect of this is two things. One is a curious silence, as if something or many things have gone missing or dormant. The other effect is to agitate your fear and your desire. So the 12th can represent a kind of anxiety zone. And at the same time it represents an anxiety zone, interestingly, it also represents a vivid, fertile field of the imagination. Currently, Venus, Mars, Mercury, and Juno are there, and that is sexy. And one of the things I suggest is that you go there. The thing to do with the 12th is to turn and face it and enter any way that you can. And it may be through meditation. It may be through going out in the woods. It may be through smoking pot. It may be through music. There's a number of ways into the 12th house. The dream plane is a way into the 12th house. And so it can represent any subtly altered or radically altered state of consciousness, whether you do it or you ask for help doing it. And I suggest that you go in and engage with the realm of fear and fantasy and see what you've got going on there. What you're likely to find is that there are elements of your psyche, your consciousness, and your desires that contradict the established order of the way the, you know, orderly monogamous world is supposed to be. Everyone knows people have all kinds of imagination and dreams and experimentation in their minds and exploration, but often it's like that dream that just has the lingering feeling, that lingering longing, rather than the direct on engagement with and exploration of the sensation or the desire. And this fits with the foundation of society and your psychic structure changing. All this activity in Capricorn is saying, well, the things we built the world on, the expectations that we built the world on, have proven to be kind of flimsy, and they're not holding up very well to much scrutiny, and they're not holding up well to the stresses of reality. And there's a lot of people really faking it in their relationships. I mean, God bless the ones who aren't. God bless the ones who are absolutely sincere with one another, and the couples where the participants give one another permission to be human, and to be themselves and feel what they feel, and don't get jealous when someone's attracted to someone, or when someone has a friend, or when somebody wants to go to community college, or when someone wants to go out, or when some, you know, all these things that are so threatening to so many people. There are people who have found a way to be real with each other and to not be threatened by the fact that that their partner is a real person. And I'm suggesting that you not be threatened by the fact that you're a real person and that you have desires that may not be, the Father McGillicuddy is not necessarily going to sign off on. Or mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa. And you can't expect someone to understand who you are, what you need, and more than anything, what you feel and where your imagination goes. And you don't need approval. And we're no longer living in a time where that approval is necessary, or you get beheaded or excommunicated or something. But what you have to be is courageous. You have to be honest, starting with yourself. There's one last, factor right on this spectrum, and that's Uranus going through your eighth house, Taurus. And Taurus is another one of those zones where we seek stability. And Uranus isn't one of those things where we don't get much, right? So you've got all this activity in Capricorn, supposed to be the most stable place in the world. Oh, Pluto and Saturn. No, that's not very stable. Okay, I guess I've got to walk lightly on the earth and live in a lovely tent. And Uranus in Taurus, which is your house of shared values, is saying, first of all, there's going to be a shakeup on the level of these shared values and this shared territory. And second, Uranus can represent groups, and so there may be more people coming over, and you get to establish for yourself first, and then in consultation with any intimate partners, what exactly, what terms exactly you're going to be on when people show up. And finally, there's a financial message in here, which is saying that that there are significant gains and losses possible. And I would encourage you to speculate, if you're going to, with only half of your fortune. Hedge your bet a little bit. Leave half your fortune invested in something that's supposedly solid. Gold or silver or whatever you might think of it, metaphorically or in reality, and experiment with the rest, so that you limit your losses, but you don't necessarily limit your gains, because you can keep gaining, you can keep experimenting and keep playing. You're likely to be a little more cautious and conservative when Saturn and Jupiter arrive in Aquarius at the end of 2020 and more attracted to opportunities to build and create rather than to speculate. And, you know, for someone as potentially radical as you are, it's very important for you to honor your conservative streak. I think that the rulership, well, the exaltation of Saturn in Libra is just a little hint that there is an approach to life that you like and respect that is stable and that is a bit restrained and a bit modest and understated. And this, by the way, is the best professional advice I could give in terms of your current transits, which is to remember that no matter how brilliant you are, or how strange you may be, or how utterly over the top creative or unconventional you may be in some way, to always remain in possession of your human dignity. To always understand that you are a person among equals. I mean, there's a few ways to get to the top, and some of them include crunching on the bones of seemingly lesser mortals, and some of them involve the loving recognition that we are surrounded by people who are ultimately equal beings. And so this activity in the sign Cancer is suggestive of you standing your full height and saying your name clearly when you meet someone, and making sure that when you meet someone, you get a sense of who they are, and you let them tell you who they are, and you shake their hand, and you embrace them as your peer, which means with respect. This will get you far. It will help you to never feel lesser than someone. It will help you to never feel greater than someone. And you will live the truth that your mission, your calling, your efforts on this planet are equally significant. We all choose to be in possession of the Dharma. We all take it up as a voluntary act, and all of the Dharma is the same. Doesn't matter what a person does. If they are acting, if you are acting as if to hold the world together, and you bring that ethos into every human experience you have, and you use this considerable power you now have to frame your reality, to set the terms and the descriptions of your reality, you'll be a pretty happy camper. Maybe a very happy camper. Some exciting astrology coming up. All right. I do suggest you get a listen to your rising sign, if this is not it, and poke around. There's many different messages coming through in these readings, and it is a pleasure to work for you and to serve you. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.